The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
There's some great peeler joints on Young Street. Ever heard of the Brass Rail?
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We're here until 7 p.m. We'll get into Dwayne Casey's comments from earlier today, but what he's hoping from the crowd tomorrow night. Rob Manfred, the MLB commissioner in town, talking about the Rogers Center. And, of course, we're looking back on Game 6, Leafs-Bruins last night, and teeing up Game 7 tomorrow. And to do so, we're joined now in studio by our TSN hockey analyst, Dave Poulin. What's up, Pooley?
How are you, Brian?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
I got a question to ask you guys.
Dave?
Oh, yeah? I've already seen Noodles today.
Yeah, we already worked together.
Do I look like Charlie McAvoy?
Not at all. I see that.
Dude, the other day, I think you asked us if you look like Patrick Marleau.
Yeah, because someone mistook me for being Patrick Marleau.
Did you sign the autograph? Because that's clearly what you should do. You should just sign it and say thank you and smile.
You're right.
I said Mike Palmateer, and that rattled you.
Wow. That's like a step up from Turk Broda.
I was going to say Turk Broda.
38-year age difference between Mike Palmateer.
Well, Mike Palmateer is like 5'9", too. I'm 6'2".
That would be a really good day, 5'9".
You think he's shorter than that?
I do. He worked for me. I know
Mike Palmateer is shorter than 5'9"?
Sure he is.
He's a tiny little man.
Sure he is.
How did he play goalie in the league?
Wait a second. Have you talked to Darren Pang?
Yeah. Panger played like 85 games or something in the league, and he was like 5'4".
With goalie pads the size of my laptop.
It's amazing.
Well, anyway.
First two career goals on Palmy.
Is that right?
Yep.
What?
Okay.
You were going to say something else.
Well, that's not the way it works.
I wasn't.
Yeah, you were. You were going
to
say something else.
I was about to say something else.
100%. When you pause,
with goalie pads the size of your
iPad, it's like, laptop. That's not what you meant to say at all.
Well, I was trying to think of something that was the size of a goalie pad, but what do you think I would say? Something stupid?
No.
I was expecting that.
I thought you were going to.
So every time, okay.
No, okay, no. Never
mind. Now you're pissing me off.
Yeah, we're moving.
That's
on.
Not good.
We'll move
Sorry,
on.
Pooley.
Yeah.
We've ruined his mood. He's not happy.
What was I going to say?
I can't say what I think you wanted to say on the air.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, it's not what you think.
Okay,
I can't even think about it.
All right, never mind. It doesn't matter. I don't look like Charlie McAvoy.
Patrick Marleau and Charlie McAvoy, that's who you've been taken for?
Yeah, people keep tweeting me. They're like, you look just like Charlie McAvoy.
Would you see him with his little like college glasses on, his hat?
He's got the baby face going big time.
He does have it. He gets ID'd going to a bar.
Oh, there's no question.
As he should. So what did you think of last night?
Good game. Good win.
Bobby Mack Pooley says he talks about it a lot. There's no momentum game to game.
I think there is. I disagree with him on that. But
I've kind of started to buy into it. But
you're buying into what he says?
Yeah, because I don't know. It's something that when I first heard it, I was like, that can't be true. But wouldn't you think Toronto would be feeling good about themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. They should be feeling great about themselves. And I
think to Bobby's point, what he's referring to is just because you're feeling good about it doesn't mean the results will happen tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, I have a take that I think the most important games or days are the days off. And there are more games won and lost on the days off.
How so?
The way they're handled. If you see your coach panicking and he's throwing out new things at you and, you know, we're going to do this, this, and this, I've seen teams totally freeze up. And if I've seen a confident coach walk in and say, great, let's go. We're in great shape here. Let's go back to work. And I think guys worry themselves into a storm on off days. And sometimes when you lose a game, you have two off days, then it's like, then there's 2 days of media. You got to answer questions for 2 days. There's no place to go, no place to hide. I played for a coach that would, you know, in Mike Keenan, that would technically try and change major things when you lost a game.
After one game,
oh,
make that change.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mike was one to overthink.
Because he was going to beat the other coach. It wasn't you that lost to the team. In his mind, it was him that lost to the coach, so he was going to change that.
I subscribe to confidence. Like, I'm, whether it's momentum or not, I look at confidence as a guy's confidence can either grow or be hampered by his surroundings. And you're right, those days off can either help it, you bump it up or pull it down depending on the type of stuff that they're going through. So I've seen the Leafs' confidence grow, and I've seen the Bruins start to get frustrated. So their body language, to me, is completely different than what it was 3 games ago on both sides. Boston looked like loose and driving, and hey, you know what, we're in complete control, we're just playing the same way, we're going to have success. And the Leafs looked scared to make mistakes, they looked tentative, and to me, I've seen a shift in the body language of the group, and that's where I think momentum can carry from game to game.
So here's a question for the two former players, Owen and Noodles. You're getting on the team plane. You see Cam Neely sitting in the front seat. You say, "Hi, Cam, how you doing?"
No. Because if I watch SportsCenter, I'd be thinking,
that?
I saw him chewing his mouth off in the press, and I don't want to even say hi to him.
Yeah, he's got no teeth. Like, there's no way he's got teeth left.
Intensity is...
Yeah. Him and Don Sweeney almost kicked holes through the drywall of, you know, the...
Donnie much less, but...
Yeah.
No, trust me. He's right above me, Pooley. Every bad pass, every play, it's like, why the F are you doing that?
And doesn't it make it even more amazing that Lou Lamoriello doesn't flinch ever?
Him and or Brendan. Brendan
Shanahan
will sometimes.
Gave a fist pump last night.
But he gives like a confident little, like Lou is.
He doesn't move,
he's
dude.
Just sitting there staring. It's almost
like it's a peewee hockey game and he doesn't even know anyone on the ice.
No, like he walked into a random rink. He's like, this is interesting. What sport is this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
honestly, he's from Australia.
I had to be more emotional.
You should be, but I mean, Lou's seen everything.
He has.
But I will tell you that Cam Neely, one of my first days as a Bruin, it's a two-on-one. It's a simple drill, right? Two-on-one, whatever. And I get up near the front of the line, and a guy says, go ahead, I got to fix my skate here. And watch guys would be taking tape off their stick. So they didn't have to go in a two-on-one because they were afraid of making a bad pass to him.
He was that intense all the time.
In practice.
Yeah. Oh, he was going. I don't remember what play he was reacting to, though. Like, I just saw the video online.
It was a DeBrusque shot that Freddie stopped in game 5.
That was the Cam Neely freakout?
Staring at the TV and chewing on his lips.
Yeah, that was a DeBrusque shot that he didn't score on in game 5. It was a great little pop out in front of the net, and DeBrusque took a shot, and Freddie got a piece of it. That's what it was.
He looks like he wanted to rip the TV off the wall and eat it.
Think about him tomorrow night. Like, think about him tomorrow night if it goes south.
I got on the elevator with him after game 5 in 2013. And he and I lived with him, actually, when I first moved to Boston. We were pretty tight. He didn't know what to say or do. Like, he was like, it was almost like the top of the elevator was going to blow off.
Well, how does
did
that
you guys
work?
Even exchange words?
Like, yeah, what? I did. He said, the Gov was my nickname there. He's just like, good job, Gov.
Well, because I've always been fascinated.
That was it. That was big.
I've always been fascinated by the inner workings of the series. Like, the players, I don't think they interact with... They always say the right things. Yeah, we're friends, but right now we don't like each other.
It's on delay till this series is over.
Exactly. The coaches, I don't know if they interact. But from an executive standpoint, like, do you feel like you have the same amount of skin in the game? Like,
I think it depends. Yeah, you do, for sure. It depends on your level of relationship with the guy. I mean, there's a reason that trades are made between certain teams. Certain guys... you know, have relationships with certain guys. And so if you have a relationship with them, probably doesn't change a whole lot, but you're not going out for coffee during the series. You're not.
Yeah, I mean,
it's intense. This Bruins box, it's like they're all up there. And
well, Don Sweeney's freaking out up there, too. Like, the cameras catch him anytime.
Well, he takes the glasses off and he turns because he knows he's on the camera. But and then he starts to swear into the wall. You can see him like,
that maybe you can help me with this. I don't understand. He's constantly taking notes. At this point in the season, what the hell are you taking notes about? Which guy's screwed up? Like, I don't get it.
Actually, it's just a diversion tactic to calm yourself down. I did it too. Oh, I did. I just wrote little things down. It was just to keep my own sense about me. Because if you sat and did nothing, you'd want to jump out of that box.
I mean,
it actually kept me calmer if I was jotting things down. And, you know, and you might actually see a legitimate point. It was more off points. Like little details that you might say to a, you might walk by a player the next day and say, hey, you know, just a little like non-major impact thing.
I used to clip, like when I was the goalie coach, I would just write down the name of who I thought
sucked.
Fault, no, whose fault it was. if it was the goalies or if there was a missed assignment.
Did you write it bigger if you were really mad?
No, I just used to like write the number. The number beside it. And it was, because it, when you go back on your video clip later, but that's a coach, like from a general manager or management standpoint, like Joel Quenneville, people asked what he, every goal you see him writing on his card. And I believe he came out and said the exact same thing. In my mind, what I saw, so I can recall it later, goal three, it was 88. Turnover in the neutral zone, that's what caused
it. Especially if it could be 18 seconds before the goal off camera.
But something that triggers you in that play, when you're watching it, okay, there's a turnover. Oh, this could be bad. It ends up in the back of the net. There's the number.
I couldn't handle being in a management position, knowing how much money guys make. And then, like, if you got a dog out there, I would want to go down in between every period and say, are you for real?
I would be freaking out, too.
Freaking out!
Like, I think that Rick Nash is a perfect example. If you're Don Sweeney, you're like, we traded a first-round pick for you.
Yeah.
And
we're not getting a lot right now.
And you're on the third line. You've been relegated down the lineup because you haven't been impactful.
So I played for a coach that he got a new little tape recorder. My college coach is really emotional. He got a new little tape recorder. So he'd go through in detail what happened on the goal. And you were all sitting in front of him. And you're like, it was all you could do not to laugh because he was all full of expletives. And he was just absolutely carving his own team, right? And so one day he takes the thing, looks, throws it the length of the bench, breaks, and it's his pride and joy, breaks into like five pieces, right? Now he's shattered. Now he's picking up the pieces. Everybody on the bench is laughing even harder now, you know, at whatever goal they gave up. But different guys handle it in different ways. It helped me just to write little notes down, but it was, once again, not major stuff, just little details.
Some of the funniest coaches I've ever heard, like, Terry Crisp apparently was
be unbelievable behind
the bench. He would say Wayne Cashman was his assistant coach. Cash, if I put that player on the ice again, come over here and kick me in the junk. He would say that, and so that the players would could hear
with nine expletives.
Yeah, like Cash.
Don't ever let me put him on the ice again.
Cash, if I put him on the ice again, the player can hear as he skates off. If I because Mark Bergevin and Rudy Poshchek played for them, so Rudy Poshchek would say, you know, as he would come off the ice after a goal again. So, Cash, if Poshchek's on the ice again, come over here and kick me in the junk or do something. Because that's, and he would hear it. Like, that's how
coaches would deal with that. It was for the benefit of the player. It wasn't for the coach. It was to let the player know you're awful right now.
Right.
Totally. I hate your guts and I'm never playing your
coach. That would promote me to say,
yeah,
blah, 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 coach.
Especially if you have like 5 years left on your contract.
Yeah,
I could see some players turning around.
It's like you want to look at me as a grown man and say, get your head out of your ass and play better, go ahead. But if you want to start acting like an idiot, I'll be an idiot too.
Dave Poulin in studio. So you went through this series in 2013.
I did.
Down 3-1, you win game 5, you win game 6, you go into the building in game 7. Obviously, you were traveling with the series. I mean, is this deja vu? How would you compare what this experience has been in 2018 to what happened in 2013?
Yeah, I've pretty much removed myself from the exact seat, you know, for my own sanity. I did it a long time ago. To do what I'm doing now, I removed myself from the exact seat. But it's hard not to see the similarities.
It's crazy.
Well, you know, when Kadri had the opportunity at 4-1, the 2-on-1, and missed the shot the other night, and then they came back and went 4-2 and 4-3. How can I not think of Matt Fratton? I mean, you know, that was at 4-2 with less time left in the game, but still the similarities are almost eerie because the games have played out very, very like.
Right.
They just have.
Yeah, they have.
They have.
Freddie Anderson's played the role of Reimer the past two games.
Yeah, and
so were you guys confident going into game 7?
We were.
Like, how do you think Lamoriello and Shanahan and them are feeling right now?
Yeah, I don't know either of those guys well enough to put myself inside their head, but we were confident. We were confident going into Game 7, and we opened up the game like we were confident.
Right.
The worst part is, I told Dave Naylor on his show, when he was doing this show, I was like, at least you're going to win 4-1. 11 minutes left, I called him, and I go, I told you. He's like, that's amazing, man.
Wow, Kreskin.
You're special.
And then it would just...
You're a guru. And the F blew up right in your face. Yeah, well, listen.
And there's only four guys playing, right? There's only...
That were there.
Yeah, that were there. Leo's not in the lineup, but they don't. And they distance themselves just as I have. You know, it happens, and been through. I mean, I've lost Game Seven as a player. That's
that's stung.
In the Stanley Cup Finals.
Were you? Were you? Was that against the Oilers?
Yes.
Or who was it? Anderson scored the empty netter, and
no, he scored actually. He scored to make it 3-1 through Hexie's five hole.
I was going to say five hole shot through Hexie.
Yeah, and Sinisalo had an unbelievable chance a couple minutes before on Fuhr at 2-1. So. When you experience all these different things through your life, I mean, I've lost in the finals three times. I mean, that's what heartbreaks, right?
That is wild.
Sucks, man.
Dave Poulin in studio. The second round, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but the other teams are waiting, and it's setting up to be incredibly entertaining. If everything plays out the way we believe that it can, you've got Winnipeg-Nashville in the second round. We've been waiting for that since, like, the new year. These two teams made the impacts they did early in the season.
Yeah.
People have been waiting for it. Vegas and San Jose, really skilled, really fast. That should be a fun series. Washington-Pittsburgh for the fifth time in 10 years or whatever
it is. Nine straight times that Pittsburgh has won, is
yes.
it not?
Yes. They've beaten them, I believe, nine of the past 10 anyway.
Nine of the last
Last 10. Time they lost?
You were on that team?
94, 93, 94.
Washington beating Pitt.
Wow.
That long ago, over 20 years ago. And then it's
I haven't played in a while.
Well, yeah, I know. I wasn't a shot. I'm just pointing it out. And then either Boston, Toronto against Tampa.
Yeah.
I mean, this sets up to be a great second round.
So I did two Nashville v. Winnipeg games in November and December in Nashville. And everybody was coming out of those games saying, oh, wouldn't it be a great playoff series? I mean, there was hitting. There was animosity. There's been a power play goal by each team. In each of the five games, at least one power play goal. So special teams have been clicking for both sides, and they're just tons of hitting, and they don't like each other at all. Watch for Subban, Shifley. It's going to be really fun. And I don't mind, maybe I'm in a minority, but I don't mind seeing it in the second round because they're not all beat up.
And at least you get it, right? Like
yeah.
you get it. You
yeah.
got it now, and
there's
I hear
a guarantee
you.
Of getting it.
Would it be great to see them in the conference final? Sure.
What difference would it really make if you're going to see a great series?
You got it.
Yeah, maybe.
And Pittsburgh, Washington, you got it.
Because sometimes when you get to the third round and the fourth round, you're so beat up, and the teams aren't even the same.
Yeah, teams are starting to drag.
Yeah,
but
the energy level should be great for that.
It should be outstanding. Yeah. I'm curious to see how San Jose and Vegas get started. They've both been off for a week.
It's an under the radar.
When do they start?
Nobody knows. They
haven't
announced it yet.
Well, we don't know because of this Game 7. I thought they would at least come out with the schedule
they should have.
For the West today.
Started on Thursday.
Just to keep people interested.
Yes. It should be Vegas, San Jose, Thursday night. Game
Absolutely.
1. How do you not have that?
I don't know.
How do you not have that?
I don't know.
What are they waiting for?
I have no idea.
Question.
Well, potentially one of the teams that's playing tomorrow night, they want on Saturday night.
Fair enough. You want the Leafs. I mean, if the Leafs win, you want them in prime viewing situation. I get that, but
still,
I mean,
couldn't
how do you
fire
not,
out that other series?
How do you not have those other series like at least like rumored? Hey, if this here's the two scenarios. If this happens here,
yeah,
know what your building
here.
Availability is. You have all the answers.
You've got the answers. They
You're just waiting to plug the last team.
Yeah, they haven't released them.
And I guess there's a TV component to that, but you would think you can get ahead of the game.
Yeah, I don't quite know how they would get Toronto to Saturday night, because that would mean the series wouldn't open till Saturday.
I think they'd wait because they play Wednesday night. Right. I mean, I guess he could start Friday, but it would.
Well,
I think they'd
start.
Wait.
I think you'll start Thursday. No, you can't.
You can't play back to back. Like wasn't that was the craziest thing about 2013? Back to back. Game 6 was on Sunday night. Game 7 was the next night.
Yes. Yes.
Because of the lockout season, they had to get going.
Yeah.
But now, question for you: so nothing starts till Friday night for sure.
Yeah, because they haven't made an announcement. Like San Jose,
you can't. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't tell a team after tomorrow that they're going to play the next day.
Well,
in
I know, but that's what I'm saying. How could they not?
Right.
How could they not release a schedule and say
and be starting Thursday somewhere?
We know how the West is laid out.
Yeah.
You guys
start
are the late games on these days.
Start at Thursday.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can start like, and you can have like Washington played last night. That's a day off. They could start Thursday as well.
They could start Friday, though, and you could
go Thursday,
San Jose and Vegas, Friday, Washington, and then whoever wins Boston Leafs against Tampa starts Saturday.
Because you could start Winnipeg, Nashville, playing 6:30 games.
Exactly, like early and late. Like
I don't
understand how, I'm sure, again, it's building availability, and it's you're waiting on this final shoe to drop because, you know, one has a fan base that moves the needle.
Well, and that's Boston does too. Boston's they a big do, market, and NBC is. Would want them. And
but can you see Nashville and Winnipeg? They're going to be starting games potentially at 6 in those markets.
Yeah,
there's nobody working those days at like afternoon.
No kidding.
Yeah,
you know, even being in Winnipeg, like people were on the streets in Winnipeg on that Friday by noon. You were walking back from the rink from the morning skate. It was like, oh, it's a pretty good crowd out here.
That place is going to be nuts for this.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, both buildings are great. And this is where NBC, like I don't personally care. I don't live in the States, so it doesn't factor in. But all they promote and play about 5 or 6 teams all year. It's New York, Pitt, it's Chicago, Detroit, Pitt. And so and now they got to try to promote Nashville, Winnipeg, where if you're a fan, that's the series people have been waiting for. Yeah. Like if you're a diehard, you're waiting for it. If you're just a fair weather fan who banks on NBC hooking you up, you're going to be like, who the hell are these two teams?
Yeah.
And you know they're not going to get primetime. Like Washington Pitt will get primetime on NBC.
For sure. Prime. 8 o'clock start.
Yes. That's going to be the top priority for NBC.
Absolutely.
And it should be, because it's Sid versus Ovechkin, and there's a lot of history and two good hockey markets. But I'm more looking forward to Nashville-Winnipeg, like taking Toronto out of it. If they win tomorrow night and they go on, obviously that's going to be my priority. But Nashville-Winnipeg has all the makings of being an absolute epic grand slam of a series.
And one thing they better not do is move that to an 8:30 Eastern start, which is what they did. They moved an 8:30 Central start, remember? And was starting at 9:30 here. That'd be totally unfair to those teams.
I just hope the build-up or the games match the build-up, because there has been some disappointing...
They're 5-for-5 this year.
I know, but it's
They're 5-for-5 great games between each other.
It just... I mean, the first round is obviously picked up recently, but there were some dull
situations.
Yeah, like think of the elements. You got two good goalies.
Yeah.
Two of the top three goalies.
There's no weaknesses.
You got Big Buff in there.
Yeah.
You got PK. You got elements of this, you know, you got skill, you've got speed.
This Philip Forsberg is scoring some goals.
He's tremendous.
No. That are just redonkulous.
They are a good team. Like, they're both teams are
it's going to be a great series. It should be a great series.
I can't see how it won't. And I think the biggest thing will be the event thing. Like Paul Maurice stood up the first day against Minnesota and said, this is going to be a very low event series. There's not going to be a lot going on because they clog up the middle and they play defense and they do this. And it was. You know, there wasn't a lot of happening. He's going to stand up before Nashville and say, this is going to be a high event series. And it is.
It's going to be
end-to-end. Absolutely.
Yeah. We interviewed Paul Maurice right after they played a Nashville game. And he was like, it was crazy being behind the bench. Like, so much going on, so much
intensity, the skill, the playmaking.
Then you factor in the buildings in the second round and how loud they're both going to be. It should be awesome. You got a feeling for tomorrow night? Bruins, Leafs? I mean,
I do.
You do? You want to share it with us?
I think the Leafs are going to be okay.
You got the Maple Leafs tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. Did you pick them coming into the series?
I did.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a shocking 7-for-7 in the first round.
Get out of here.
Uh-huh. I have an overtime. Holy. I don't know who.
You
said
picked every
I picked two
series,
guys.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're full of garbage.
Look at my pool, buddy.
But there's been no upsets.
Look at my fantasy pool, buddy.
There's been no upsets.
Based on seedings, there hasn't been.
There's been no upsets based on seedings.
I want to be fired from that fantasy show. I can't do it anymore.
When you made that last pick and you were just... You were so mad at yourself.
Yeah. I hated myself.
Who'd you take?
I don't know. Chara, I think.
You took Chara with your last pick?
I'm not even getting into it. It was just, I got stressed and...
The moment
you got
to
Jonesy down there is just the capital chirper.
Yeah.
Like, he is just born to chirp.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm on the Leafs tomorrow night, too. I picked them coming into the season, coming into the series. But I think we all expected 7 games, right? Like, this is, regardless of how it got here, objectively, this was supposed to be a really fun, long series. Not an easy series.
And by the way... You know, people are talking about the pressure on Austin Matthews. The pressure's on Bergeron line. If they don't score, they don't win.
Yeah, no kidding.
As simple as that.
Yeah,
for the Leafs, if you say, well, if Austin Matthews doesn't score, well, he hasn't scored in 4 of the 6 games.
Yep. And they've won 3.
See, I think it's on somebody else. If I'm like,
he doesn't win.
If I'm Bergeron, I'm thinking, is Rick Dash ever going to score a goal for us? Maybe it doesn't have to be about us.
Yeah. Well, Krejci's, I mean, Jake DeBrusque's chipped in.
Yeah, David Backes, like somebody.
Yeah.
Well, it's been basically the first line or the fourth line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That middle group hasn't done it for them.
Well, we'll see. It should be a fun night tomorrow night. Enjoy it, Pooley.
Okay, guys.
Good seeing you, buddy. There's Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst. We'll let you hear what Dwayne Casey is campaigning for at the ACC tomorrow night. And the commissioner of baseball in town talking about the Rogers Center and how it stacks up as a stadium. We'll get into that more next. All right, so we just talked about the NHL scheduling and when the second round should start. I guess they were listening to us because they just sent out an email, and the second round will start on Thursday night.
There you go.
So it'll be Pittsburgh, Washington, game one on Thursday night, and Vegas, San Jose, game two. The Winnipeg series will start on Friday, and either Leafs Lightning or Bruins Lightning will begin Saturday. So if the Leafs win tomorrow night, Thursday, it's all about breaking down the series, excitement in the city. Friday, you turn the page and you start teeing up the next series.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't won a series in 14 years. 14 years.
It's been that long?
Yeah, it was 2004 the last time they got to the second round.
Well.
So that's what's at stake tomorrow night.
Got an opportunity.
14 years?
14 years. Dude, they went a decade without even making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Raptors in action tomorrow night. I found this interesting, what I heard out of Dwayne Casey. I want to play this clip in a moment. He has said this multiple times throughout the year. Kind of a subtle jab at the fans, or at least a message anyway. And this was intentional. Because the ACC, historically for the Raptors, has a reputation of being really loud. A
lot different atmosphere.
Really, really boisterous, but I haven't picked up on that this year. I don't think it's really applied this year. And this is what Dwayne Casey had to say earlier today.
I hope our home court crowd is as loud and as vicious and boisterous as Washington was, because it was some things coming out of there that were rabid. I mean, it was a hot environment on Sunday. So we've got to turn around and do the same thing.
He said that a few times, like, well, I hope the crowd really is loud. Like, basically, he's saying, I don't think it's been loud. I don't think it's factored in.
Does that come with success, though? They're winning every game, and then people get the expectations, and then they just sit on their hands and say, well, show me the awesomeness. Show me DeMar. Show me Kyle doing something. I don't know.
I think with all of the winning, and it's relative, because they haven't been winning titles. They're not going to the NBA Finals, but compared to the previous 15 years of their existence, they've had unparalleled success the past handful of years. And this year, they won more regular season games than they ever had, and they were unbelievable on home court. They won more home games than they've ever won before. That there was a sense of malaise that permeated the fan base at the ACC during the regular season. Because it's a foregone conclusion. This team's really good. They're going to the playoffs. Let's see what you got.
Right.
As for the playoffs, you know, I can't speak to it. I guess I expected more, but this is a town. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of corporate people that show up at games. But I do think it's incumbent on the team to supply that kind of atmosphere. Like, the Leafs have had the same reputation for 20 years at the ACC. Like, we know it. We know the fans are what they are.
And last night, I thought it was an opportunity where they were going to let a great crowd slip away after Boston scored first. I'm thinking, this place was ready to go crazy for these guys to score a goal, and it didn't happen. And Boston scored first, and I'm like, here we go. But we might start getting booed here.
When Nylander scored, it lit up again.
Right.
Right? And then when Marner scored, the roof popped off. When Plekanec scored the empty netter, that place went bananas.
Yeah.
It's on the team to supply it first.
I agree.
And, you know, Casey, I think, is just campaigning for the fans. He wants that home court atmosphere. But I would be directing that message to my players. You know, play the way you're capable of playing.
But I don't think it's a bad message, Brian. I think it's just saying to the fans, hey, let's get going here. Like, we saw what was happening to us in Washington and what the crowd was like there. Let's do both. Our guys are going to give you the excitement, but be nuts when the game starts.
It
can all go together.
But you feel that's a little bit of a backhanded, like a veil?
Well, I wonder if your focus is in the wrong place. You know, don't worry about the fans. The fans will take care of it if you allow them to be in a position to take care of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's saying it from, you know, a nefarious standpoint.
Yeah, not malicious.
I don't think he's saying, like, I hate the fans or this place is a joke or anything like that. I do think he's coming at it from a positive standpoint, like, hey, you can really help us here.
I think it's more of a let's match that, because it was crazy in Washington, and we want the same thing here.
Okay, well, but then don't choke away in the fourth quarter, and it will be crazy.
I totally agree.
You know, like, if I'm paying $300 for a ticket, I'm thinking, okay, I'll give you everything I got, but if you guys are going to blow another 11-point lead, then what are you giving me? What am I getting out of this? You know, like, I've always, and this has been an omnipresent conversation in the city for a long time, I've always believed it's on the team to give you a reason to get crazy. Are there going to be some fans that just don't get into it? Yes. Right. This is never going to be like, you know, a college stadium atmosphere. It's not in our DNA in Toronto. But you can get crazy crowds if the team shows up and plays well and plays hard and makes big plays. And,
right,
you know, the fans will kind of, they allow in this city the team to dictate how they're going to react. And I think we saw that last night with the Maple Leafs.
Would your attitude change if tracksuits were delivered?
We got them?
No, dude. Tracksuits aren't coming.
Did you ask him at least?
No,
we
did not.
On the show. It was actually the.
So you didn't ask Dwayne Casey, where's our tracksuits?
No, we're not lunatics.
No, we didn't do that.
Somebody told me you guys were chirping about that, saying, thank God he's not on this show.
Absolutely, I did. It was the first time we've interviewed him all year where someone didn't aggravate him about free tracksuits.
All right, I'll just ask him the next time I see him.
I know you will. And he'll give you the same answer. Yeah, I'm on it. And then he'll hang up the phone and say, I hate those guys, and I'd rather not ever be interviewed by them again.
Until the next time, because he loves you.
He does end up coming
on. He does love you.
He's been
Brian.
Very good to the show.
He loves you.
Listen, was he calling him Hazy B?
No, he wasn't, but he...
He threw a shout-out for Noodles.
He did give a shout-out to Noodles, yeah.
He did.
he did
give a shout-out to Noodles. I like that.
You just said, thank you, Noodles. Thank you, Bri. Thank you, Noodles.
Yep, that's right.
He didn't call him Noodles.
Swear to God.
Oh,
I think
so
he did.
The coach is now throwing out nicknames when I'm not on the show.
Thank you, Bri. Thank you, Noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of chirped you. Yes.
No.
And go back and find the tape, Mullen.
And then we kind of chirped you. It was like, man, he's never ever. Because Brian brought it up. Hayes was like, oh, he gave Noodles a little bit of love. And
yeah.
I was like, okay. Because I let Brian handle the interview. I don't
of
know
course.
If I gave him a. I may have asked one, but I don't think so. I think you handled everything.
I might have.
And then at the end, he was like, thank you, Noodles. I'm like, oh, thanks. I got
big
pretty excited
out.
About it.
Big. Last Wednesday, find it.
Didn't happen. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it did happen. And I was quite excited about it.
Yeah, you should
And
be.
I think he was quite excited that, you know.
He wasn't being bothered about tracksuits.
Yeah, it just. I think there was a situation where he just felt like he can come on and enjoy himself.
So the MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred, is in town, and he's shilling for Rogers. He was asked about the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
And he said, quote, given the passage of time, the Rogers Center is probably out of date in terms of amenities that are available in many of our ballparks, end quote. Which he's not wrong. Rogers Center was built in 1989. So you're looking at 30 years. For any stadium, 30 years is a long time. It's going to be outdated. It was outdated 10, 15 years after it was built. This is 30 years now.
That thing was almost outdated as soon as it was put up. It was like it was put up and everyone was like, this is amazing. It's a roof that opens up and closes. And then outdoor stadiums were like the cool
thing.
It
exploded.
I'm fine with there being a roof and that's it.
Well, but you can have a roof. You can have a retractable roof on a new stadium. You know, they did that in Minnesota, I believe. I think they have that in Houston, I want to say.
I think it would be cool guys hitting home runs into Lake Ontario.
That would be really cool. But he is picking up on Mark Shapiro's rhetoric over the past year and a half, where Shapiro has been campaigning to improve the amenities. And I don't know who he's campaigning to, though.
Why don't they just build a new ballpark?
But that's the thing. Like, Rogers has so much money. They can do that if they want to.
Right.
But this is not, I don't think this is a shot at ownership. This is him sending a message to the local government and the provincial government, like, hey, hook us up.
Yeah.
Like, we want you to pay for
this. Revitalize that area. Where's that outdoor bar where that everyone goes on Sundays? Cabana? You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
That area, you know where that is?
It's down by the docks, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, don't you think you put a ballpark there right on the water, and you could literally have, like, Wrigleyville of Toronto
well,
out there?
Well, it'd be great if you could build it all up. But what do you do with the space that is the Rogers Center? I don't know. I mean, that's
you do what everything else that happens in the city. You rip it down and you put condos up.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you could.
Realistically, Roger, that's probably what would happen.
Condos.
Imagine the expense on ripping that thing down. Would they even rip it down?
Yeah, you'd have to. That's if you're not using it as a ballpark, that's prime real
estate.
They
would implode it and then start over there. And you're right. Condos would go up, and a lot of them. But you would sell off things. Could you sell off the seats? You know, just like Maple Leaf Garden, couldn't you buy like the urinal at?
Yeah, I'm sure you could. You could
didn't
sell
off
a lot.
Didn't we have a lawyer that bought the crapper out of the Maple Leafs? Like,
yeah, we did Maple Leaf Garden out of the dressing room.
Yeah,
the toilet. Some guy paid like $8,000 for that.
Yeah, like a rich lawyer called in. Did he call into our show?
Yeah, we had him on. That was probably 5-6 years
ago. Yeah, it was like Leafs.
He bought a toilet seat.
He bought the toilet, the whole toilet from Maple Leafs Garden.
That's disgusting. Why would you ever want that?
I know, it's gross.
He said he was putting it into his man cave. Remember he goes, I've got a man cave, it's going to be in there. He paid like $8,000 for it, like Harold Ballard and right up to Matt Sundin. All
yeah, they all went through there.
Wendell Clark.
Dougie Gilmore after his big night against the
pea soup.
Dallas Stars.
He had a pea soup movement.
Pea soup, tuna sandy, 6 assists, and just had a just great night on that.
Just took a moose.
All right, do you want to review the tape here of Dwayne Casey last week?
Let's hear it.
Good luck as you head down to D.C. for Game 3, and as always, we really appreciate you doing this.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noodles.
You bet.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Noodles.
I didn't even get an individual thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noodles.
Play it again.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noodles.
You bet. You bet.
Attaboy, he was so Noodles. Horny that he said that. He had to throw
I gave
in,
you a you Joel bet. Quinville mid-game interview. Yeah. You betcha.
You betcha. Big guy.
It.
Yeah, that was. We got him after they were up 2-0. I don't think we could get him today after 2-2.
No chance.
I've got to be honest, too, though. Didn't we cue it up and I like was giving him lots of love? I'm like, this is the coach of the year.
Well, I still think that applies because it's based on the regular season. But you're right. You were pumping his tires. I think he heard that and he's like, I got to give this guy
shout out to Noodles on the way out.
Yeah. Attaboy.
Dwayne Casey, our guy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noodles.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noodles.
You bet.
You bet.
You see this news out of Rob Gronkowski's Instagram account? He's officially returning to the Pats next year.
This guy is partying right now like a machine.
They have optional workouts going on, and he's like,
nowhere to be found.
I don't think so. I won't be showing up for those.
No, guys.
That's not Patriot-like either, I don't think.
No. Well, Brady's not showing up either. Yeah, so something's going on there. Like, those guys are going to play, but it feels
I agree.
They're something sending a message to Belichick. Like, I've had enough of you being a hero all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but who wins that war of attrition? Because
probably
got Brady,
Belichick.
But Brady, I love Brady, but he's gone strange. He's got some sort of guru.
But that's what apparently is the big problem, is this Alex Guerrero guy who he's so connected to because Belichick treats him like a pigeon.
But he should. The guy claims to have cured cancer.
I know. That's a bit weird. That's like some Charlie Sheen type stuff.
Yeah, like he sounds like a jackass.
Yeah.
And I know, Brady's very healthy and arguably one of the greatest athletes to ever play any sport.
And
not
still,
just football.
Still rocking at 40.
And still rolling.
Something's going on down there. Like Chara's at 41. He's at 40, 41. They're still playing.
Chara's got the plant-based diet.
I know.
I just started following him on Instagram. He's a very, we have a lot of mutual friends. He's a great guy.
I think he may run out of steam tomorrow night. Like that's 41-7 games. He's gonna have to play a lot of minutes.
You got to hope for it anyway. About that guy, I think he's the least of their issues tomorrow night. I think he shows up.
I'm not saying he won't show up, but if it goes to overtime, like seeing him, like if he hits 30 minutes of ice time, because he's been gassed at times.
Oh yeah,
this series that you've looked at him, you're like, ooh, he's 41.
Right.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine, and we continue to tee up what's going to be a big, big night tomorrow night in Toronto. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, point spread. I will lay the points, Boston at home tonight. Take the points, big points, Miami, and take the points, big points, San Antonio. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So the Maple Leafs winning last night. Great third period. Lots of energy in the building last night. And, you know, the city's still reeling from what happened yesterday afternoon. And clearly that's at the forefront of everyone's mentality today.
Right.
And I think it will continue to be for quite some time. But tomorrow night, from a sports standpoint, is as big as it gets. You got the Leafs and Bruins in Game 7, Raptors, Wizards, Game 5. You got Jays, Red Sox down at the Dome, and TFC looking to win their first Champions League down in Mexico. It will not get any bigger than that unless they all keep moving on.
Right.
The Leafs get to the second round, and the Raptors move on, and the Jays keep winning. Then we get to roll another, it over. That's the beauty of the series.
I told you what I want tomorrow night. I want a sweep. Round the horn sweep. Everybody win.
Yeah. Do it. Absolutely. Why not?
Oprah.
We're long overdue.
Oprah night. You get a win. You get a win. You get a win, and you get a win.
Everyone gets a win.
I feel good about it tomorrow night. I don't know if I should. I'm a Toronto sports fan, and it hasn't really worked out. But recently, there's been a lot of wins. There's been a lot of winning in this city. It's not quite to like Boston levels of winning. But Boston's real due for a rude awakening themselves. And the Bruins, maybe they supply it for them tomorrow night. The Red Sox, maybe the Jays beat up on them starting tonight down at the Rogers Center. Who knows? So we'll see what happens, and we're going to be teeing it all up tomorrow afternoon. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We're going to chat then.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noodles.
You bet.